You're listening to Food Integrity Now with Carol Gravais, Matt Spaeth, and Jeannie Smith, revealing the truth about the food we eat.
Hello, and welcome to Food Integrity Now. I'm Jeannie Smith, the host of your show today. On Food Integrity Now, we not only talk about issues that affect our global food supply, we also bring you integrity news and information on various topics that are affecting the quality of our lives. Our goal is to bring you this information in an uncensored and honest way so that you can use it in creating change in both your life and the lives of others. Find us on the web at foodintegritynow.org. You can listen to all our shows directly on our site or on iTunes. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. Our topic today is organic farming and some surprising information we all need to be aware of about the produce sold at local farmers' markets. Our guest is Rachel Ryder of Grant Family Farms in Wellington, Colorado. Welcome, Rachel.
Hi, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you. First, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I am the Northern Colorado representative with Grant Family Farms CSA, and I've got to say that organic farming is something that is very dear to my heart. I'm a Colorado native, grew up originally on the western slope in Glenwood Springs, surrounded by a lot of agricultural areas. And then, you know, lived abroad for about 5.5 years during college and high school. And in my travels and in my experience growing up in Colorado, I really have come to find that sustainable, organic, local agriculture is going to be the answer to our global food crisis and many of the issues that we face in terms of water quality and just the availability of enough food for the population of the planet. So, it's something that's very important to me. And I don't know what else to say. Sorry.
No, that's fine, Rachel. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Grant Family Farms and what specifically you do for them?
Sure. So Grant Family Farms, we are an organic farm just north of Fort Collins, Colorado, in Wellington. We're one of the oldest organic farms in the state of Colorado. We were actually certified organic in 1974, which made us probably the first in the state. Lou Grant, who was our founder, was a professor at Colorado State University, and he was actually instrumental in getting our farm certified and also getting the state of Colorado to set standards for what it means to be organic. So that's something that we're very proud of.
Sure. I can certainly understand that. And Rachel, how big is your farm?
We have a 2,200 acre farm.
Wow, that's big.
Yeah, very large.
Okay. And how do you grow the food that you do up there?
Well, as I said, we're a completely certified organic farm, so we believe in using the, you know, farming practices that from back in the day before we had pesticides and herbicides and things like that. So we use primarily a lot of crop rotation. We use natural predators to eat our bugs and pests out of the field. We don't use any chemicals whatsoever in our vegetable growing. And that means that your vegetables are much healthier and have a much higher nutritional value. When you're able to rotate crops through fields, you're actually replenishing the nutrients in that soil. So every time that you grow something new there, changes up the nutrients and changes up the enzymes. And what that results in is a much healthier and much more nutrient-dense vegetable.
Yeah, and it also means that all of the pesticides and herbicides and all of the chemicals are not in the food. I think most of us are pretty much aware that what you spray on a plant or what you incorporate into the soil does go through the plant and becomes part of what we eat. So that's very important, I think, to all of us. And so tell us, what is it that you sell? What kind of veggies do you sell up there?
Well, we actually grow over 200 different varieties of vegetables, which is pretty great considering Colorado doesn't always have the most hospitable growing climate. But we have everything from, you know, baby greens in early spring to your traditional green beans, bell peppers, tomatoes, and things like that. And in the winter, we get lots of fun heirloom winter squashes and leeks and things like that. So quite a wide variety.
So you actually sell year-round, not just during the growing season?
Well, our growing season is, generally speaking, from around June till late November. And we have a large facility whereby we can store a lot of our winter vegetables. So we do still sell them and provide them in our CSA program throughout the winter.
Okay. Well, tell me what the CSA program is.
Yeah, so CSA stands for Community Supported Agriculture, and it's a really innovative and awesome agricultural model whereby members of the community are able to invest directly into a farm, and in return, they get a weekly delivery of vegetables from the farm. There are lots of different types of CSAs all over the country, and the way that ours work is that our members purchase a share at the beginning of the year, and they get a weekly delivery to their neighborhood throughout our growing season, which is, like I said, from June to late November, early December. So it's
okay.
26 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. And do you, how does somebody know what is in it? Is it just sort of random, whatever is ready to be harvested, or, how do you know what's in the share with the vegetables you're going to receive?
Yeah. So, what we provide to our CSA members are the vegetables that are the most fresh and most seasonal and ready to be harvested. So that means that at the beginning of every week, we'll take a look at everything that's growing and see what's ready to be ripe and ready to be harvested, and then make a decision to put those in the CSA boxes. So each individual shareholder, will get a newsletter at the beginning of every week giving a forecast of what you can expect in your box. For the most part, you, get some surprises. I mean, you get some conventional things, you know, that you would use all the time. Like I said, bell peppers and green beans and things like that. But every once in a while, I would get like a kohlrabi or lots of kale and things like that. And it's quite fun to experiment. You learn a lot about new vegetables and new ways of cooking things.
So does your newsletter, if, for example, if I got a kohlrabi, for me, I have never worked with one of those. Does your newsletter tell me how to prepare it or how I can cook it?
Yeah, absolutely. So we send out newsletters with what you can expect in your box and also lots of recipes. That's one thing that we are really a big fan of at Grant Family Farms is the community part of community-supported agriculture. So we like to be really involved with our members. We like to have huge events up at our farms, at our farm throughout the season so that folks can come up and see where their vegetables are being grown. And we do like to share with you our favorite recipes. So we have those in the newsletters and on our website. Our newest project is working on getting a YouTube channel with videos on how to cook your CSA food. So it'll be really fun.
Oh, that does sound like fun. Well, tell me about how many of these CSA shares do you all currently have?
Well, currently we are the largest CSA in the country. So
wow.
In our last season, yeah, it's pretty exciting. Our last season we had just under 5,000 members, and we deliver all over Colorado and a little bit into Wyoming.
Wow, that is a lot larger than I even knew was available. So, for example, you're way up at the northern end of Colorado, and I'm mm-hmm. south of Castle Rock. So mm-hmm. When you say neighborhood, so could you tell me a little bit about your deliveries so people would understand that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have food harvested. We deliver Monday through Friday during the week. We harvest all of the vegetables the day before they go into the CSA boxes. And then we have drivers that go out to the various neighborhoods in Colorado and deliver those items. And we have pickup locations that are basically members of the CSA and members of the community who offer up their business or home to have the vegetables delivered there once a week. So you go over to your pickup location and you get to meet lots of like-minded and fun people and pick up your veggies. And it's a really great little experience. And we actually do have deliveries that go way down by Castle Rock and Colorado Springs and all of those areas.
Wow. I think that's great because you're right. That would help like-minded people. It's sort of expanding not only the organic farming piece of it, but also a sense of community and getting to know other people.
Exactly.
And what else do you sell besides vegetables?
Well, primarily we are a vegetable farm. However, for our CSA, we have partnered with a couple other local businesses to provide other shares. So the great thing about the size of our CSA is that we have this amazing infrastructure for our deliveries. We've been able to, as I said, deliver to Wyoming all the way down to past Colorado Springs and even to the mountains. So we've allowed other small businesses in Colorado to kind of piggyback on that delivery system in order to get their product out. So for CSA shares, you have vegetables that are available from our farm. We also do a fruit share whereby we partner with small orchards on the western slope to provide organic fruit. We have three local dairies that provide cheese shares, a small local organic mushroom farm, and we also have a bakery that makes bread out of wheat that was grown on our farm, and we provide an artisan bread share.
Wow, that really sounds great that you've created this consortium of companies to support all aspects, because I know as a consumer, I can go to some stores and I might be able to get organic some vegetables, but it's certainly not picked the day before. These shares sound pretty awesome. And do they come in, is it a one size fits all? Cause, you know, right now there's just two of us versus having a large family.
Right. Yeah. So we actually have lots of different sizes and really depends on your lifestyle and how many veggies you eat per week. We have three vegetable share sizes, small, medium, and large. The small one is usually for, you know, maybe one or two people, medium, three to four. And then the largest is, you know, up to seven people. It's a pretty large amount of vegetables. And also to your point about veggies being picked, you know, just the day before, interesting fact is that most vegetables that you find in your grocery store are actually harvested up to 2 weeks before they're ripe. And the reason for that is because they have to travel all the way to a distribution center, then travel to your grocery store. And a lot of times they're picked extremely early where they're not ripe. And the problem with that is that most vegetables develop the majority of their nutritional value in the last 24 hours before they're ripe. So when a vegetable is picked that early, you're losing a substantial amount of nutrients. Then most conventional vegetables that are shipped around the country will be treated with hormones to keep them from ripening too soon before they get to your grocery store shelf. Once they get to the grocery store, they're then treated once more, usually with radiation treatments to quicken their ripening process right before they go to the shelf and give them that color that you expect to see. So through all of this process of it being shipped, picked early, shipped everywhere, treated with hormones and with radiation, the vegetables that you get at the grocery store have lost, I would say, about 80% of their nutritional value by the time you pick it up. So there really is something to be said for vegetables that are harvested the day before when they're ripe, when they're at the peak of their nutritional value, and delivered to your neighborhood.
Well, that's certainly something I didn't know. I knew that some of the vegetables and produce that I would buy, I could tell, like if the bananas come in green and then they're ripening, I just assumed they were ripening in the store. I didn't know that they were treated with hormones. Again, something else that we want to avoid is all of these extra hormones and chemicals. So I think the CSA idea is great, so that you could get, you know, the fresh vegetables and the majority of the nutrients. That's great. But let's take a short break here. I want to make sure that we acknowledge our sponsors. So we'll be back in just a moment, and we thank you for supporting them.
This is Carol again, and I just wanted to talk to you about one of our new sponsors, Hole in the Wall Herb and Vitamin Shop up in Woodland Park. The owners, Mark and Nancy Duvall, are not only close personal friends, but they're also my nutritional gurus. They are now selling, teaching, and doing Acira bioenergetic testing on their clients. I had this done, and I found out all my food allergies, emotional stressors, environmental sensitivities, hormonal balance, and I received a customized homeopathic remedy. Please call them for more information at 1-800-437-3240.
Lynn
Linda Masterson, Soul Purpose Astrologer, works with astrological tools and with guides in the non-physical to assist ones in knowing their soul purpose. Important in this process is identification of significant blockages. In each session, tools are provided for working with self to clear resistance and free talents, skills, and abilities to fuller expression. The goal is to take responsibility for and to accelerate the healing process. Phone sessions are offered by Linda. Please visit Linda at lindamasterson.com or call 808-651-0307. Again, that's 808-651-0307.
Hi, and welcome back. We're talking with Rachel Ryder of Grant Family Farms, and we're learning some really very interesting statistics on food, how it's produced, and how in traditional grocery stores and traditional produce, we're losing a substantial amount of nutrients of our food because of the way it's picked early because of the need to ship. And you started talking with me about how food normally gets to grocery stores. I'd like to talk with you a little bit about more of that. Can you expand on that for us?
Yeah, sure. So, my experience really is on the organic side of things. The way that it works for our farm is that things are harvested, and for local distribution centers, for example, in Colorado, King Soopers and Whole Foods are some of our biggest customers. We will package the food at our farm and have our own drivers deliver it to their distribution center. Now that is if it's going local. There are other stores, like Vitamin Cottage, for example, that don't have their own distribution center. So they will use a distributor, a third party, that will pick up food at our farm and take it to those stores. And if it's going out of state, which a lot of food does, in fact, most food in this country goes around the world, it will go through a distributor who will pick it up and take it to various stores across the country or the globe. So that's the beginning of the steps of how food is developed, taken to the grocery store.
Okay. Well, this is really interesting because I think most of us, you know, we know it's grown on a farm and then here it is in the store and there's this blank space in the middle that I know for myself and I bet a lot of our listeners don't know what happens in between. And that kind of leads us to the second topic of our show today, and that is how food gets to the farmers' markets in ways that we might not expect. So let's first, okay, so you've said food is picked up, either shipped by your own drivers, using Grant Family Farms as an example, to a distribution point directly for King Soopers and Whole Foods as examples, right? Mm-hmm. And so what about food that is not organic, that's going to a store that, say a Walmart, for example. Is that basically the same thing? Farmers or third-party distributors bring their foods to some type of a regional distribution center, and then the people at that store look at the food, or how does that part work?
Yeah. So, you bring up an interesting point with the people at the store looking at the food. There's a huge issue in our country with waste from organic vegetables or even non-organic vegetables. When they're shipped to a grocery store, there are certain standards for what fruits and vegetables need to look like. A good example that I like to use is bell peppers. If they look at an entire truck of bell peppers and they find one or two that don't have exactly four ridges and aren't a certain length and width and color, then the entire truck of vegetables will be rejected. This is something that's really difficult for farmers because, you know, there's really a very high standard in grocery stores. We like to call them runway vegetables in the business. We have to really be extremely picky and choose the most perfect and most beautiful looking vegetables and fruit to send to a store. And even then they can be rejected by that store. And what happens to them after that is really an interesting thing. You mentioned distribution centers, for conventional food, and really this happens with organic or conventional food, whereby food is rejected. And if it's local, for example, I use the example of Grant Farms delivering directly to King Soopers or Whole Foods. If they reject a truck of our vegetables, then they'll come back to our farm. However, if things are traveling across country, usually they're being carried by a distributor. And this goes for organic or conventional food. Now, if they get to a store in, say, North Carolina or somewhere that's extremely far away from the farm, and that store decides that they don't want those vegetables, then those vegetables are back on the hands of the farmer. So the farmer has a choice at that point in time where they can say, well, we can either throw away this entire truck of vegetables that's all the way in North Carolina, or we can try to sell it and get some money for it. And that's where a very interesting thing happens. So sometimes the farmer will choose to sell those vegetables in an auction, and someone will come by and purchase an entire truck of vegetables, be they organic or conventional, for just pennies on the dollar. So just a itty bitty fraction of what the farmer would get for those vegetables had they been accepted by the grocery store. And after that point, the person who purchases those vegetables could, you know, take them to a food bank, or they could take them many, many places. But a lot of times what happens is that those people will take those vegetables and then take them to local farmers markets and sell them as if they were local and organically grown vegetables.
Well, I was really surprised, because to me, is that not fraud? Because you're using the example, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're using the example, if say it was grown in Colorado and a distributor has bought them and has them in North Carolina across the country. So by the time it got all the way back to Colorado, if it was just one or two bell peppers that didn't have the right ridges, then probably the food would be closer to being spoiled because of being on the road that much time. So if they're out of state in this example that we're using, and then someone else, so at these distribution points, there's also somebody there that does these auctions as well, it sounds like?
Yeah, so it works in several different ways, and every farm has their own setup for, you know, what they decide to do with their rejected vegetables when they're out of state. But once it's in the hands of those people that can take them to farmers markets, there's really not any strict regulation about what they can do with it. They could set up a stand at a farmers market and call themselves Bob's Organics, and they could say that it was locally procured fruits and vegetables, because technically it was purchased at a distribution center in that state. So you really have to be careful with asking where was it grown and understanding, you know, the true history of where those vegetables came from. And the difficult thing with that is that it really hurts small and local farmers, because not only do you have the original farm who, you know, got rid of all of their produce for pennies on the dollar because, you know, they just had no other choice besides trashing it, but you have local farms in the state where this produce is being resold who have to compete with these, you know, out-of-state items that are usually being sold for less than what they, you know, the actual local products are being sold for. So they're being undercut. So it has a negative impact on small farms across the country.
Wow, I didn't. Again, this is a surprise to me after we were talking. So if I see how the impact is to the local farmers, because if there's normally 10 local farms at a farmer's market, you could end up with, you know, more people coming in. And like you said, if they bought a truckload with just pennies on the dollar, they could cut the price in half and still be making good money on it.
Exactly.
And you're right. It's just all depends on how you ask the question. You know, is it from here? Yes, because I bought it here. You know,
exactly.
So, as a consumer, I go to farmers markets. What questions? What is it that? How can I be more educated how can I be more educated as a consumer to when I go to a local farmers market? To what questions can I ask so that I know that A, it's organic, and B, that it is locally grown, so I know that it's fresh?
Yeah, so the first step that I would take is to look into who organizes your local farmers market and to ask them some questions about the requirements to be at that market. So, for example, in Fort Collins, Colorado, where I live, the local farmers market is extremely strict. They will not allow anyone to have a table unless they have grown the vegetables themselves. However, in some larger cities, that's not always the case. You have to remember that folks who run farmers markets are running a business just like anyone else. So sometimes the standards can be a little bit more lax. So the first thing to do would be to ask the organizers of the farmers market, what are the standards for having a booth at this market? You know, what do you require? Does it have to be grown? Does it have to be local, you know, by the people who are actually selling it? So that's the first step. The second step that I would always recommend to everyone is to be mindful of what's in season. So a lot of times if you go to a market in Colorado in June and you see sweet corn or tomatoes, you've got to start asking yourself, now, wait a minute, this can't be from here, because there's no way that we have those items ready in June. So really just being mindful of tables that look a little out of place, you know, that have items that might sound great. I mean, you might be really excited to get those. But you have to be aware that that's, you know, probably not possible and you might need to ask some more questions. And the last thing is really just don't be afraid to ask those questions. You know, talk to the people who are selling vegetables. If they're a legitimate farmer, they're going to be really excited to talk to you. You know, they'll want to tell you all about their growing practices and everything that you'd like to know about their farm. And it really is your right as a consumer to know that information. So just don't be afraid to ask, hey, you know, where was this grown? You know, not where did it come from, but where was this grown and what methods do you guys use and things like that, so that you really know that you're getting local and actually organic grown vegetables.
Well, that sounds great. And we're going to take one final break here to acknowledge our sponsors. And again, we thank you for supporting them. We'll be right back.
My name is Jennifer, and I'm a health fanatic. I admit it. I read all the labels, eat organic food, and I'm very aware of what I put into my body. I practice holistic health, use alternative healing products, and never miss my daily dose of Willard water. Willard water is made with fossilized organics and contains nearly 24 trace minerals that are essential to maintaining strong bones, heart health, and good energy. Simply adding a quarter capful of Willard water to my tea makes a tremendous impact on my overall well-being. Willard water is tasteless and odorless. Dr. Willard's patented catalyst helps our bodies better absorb the minerals and nutrients we need to maintain optimal health. If you care about your health, you'll try Willard water today.
To learn more about the benefits of Willard water, call us at 888-379-4552 or visit our website at drwillard.com. That's drwillard.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration, and Willard water is not intended to treat, diagnose, cure, or prevent any diseases.
Hi, I'm Carol Gravey, and I'm one of the hosts of Food Integrity Now. And I've just teamed up with Sharon Farrell of Rocky Mountain Sacred Journeys. And we'd like you to come join us on an amazing adventure of fun and self-discovery. Please join us for one of our ongoing trips to Hawaii to swim with the dolphins in the wild. To find out more about our ongoing trips, please go to wilddolphinswimadventures.com or call us at 415-302-7100.
Welcome back. We're talking with Rachel Ryder of Grant Family Farms, who's just given us some really good information. When we go to our local farmers market, what we're finding is that the food that is being sold could perhaps be from a farm somewhere else, out of state perhaps sitting in trucks for days. It might not be fresh and it might not be organic, even though the person says it is. And, the points that you gave us, that as a consumer, when we go to a farmer's market to buy our food, to check into the standards on what the local organizer has for having a booth, and also being mindful of what's in season. So like you, the example that you said, corn, we all, anybody that's tried to grow corn, know it's tough to get it under 70 days. That if you get it in June, it's like, maybe not local. And then be willing to ask, questions. And you're right. The enthusiasm and passion of the person who grew it will be real obvious. But let me go back to mindful of what's in season. For people who haven't tried growing their own food and haven't looked at all the little bags of seeds to know when to expect their veggies to try to grow, what would you suggest to them as to how to know what's in season and what isn't?
Yeah, and that's a tricky thing. I mean, especially in this day and age when you can go to a grocery store and find anything you could ever dream of at any point in time. I would definitely recommend just, you know, doing a little bit of research. If you go to our website, we actually have a list of the vegetables that we grow and when they're in season. So that's one good point of reference. Or even just chatting up, like I said, anyone at the farmer's market. Oftentimes there will be stands with, you know, local universities representing their ag program or something like that. Just, ask them, you know, I see that table over there has sweet corn. Is that legitimate? You know, was that grown here?
Sure.
So yeah, just asking questions, doing a little bit of research. I mean, it's kind of crazy how much effort it takes to be a consumer in this country. You know, you really do have to go out of your way to educate yourself. And just kind of getting to know your fruits and vegetables and what's in season will be helpful for you at the farmer's market, and also helpful if you, you know, can kind of adapt your diet to a more seasonal diet. You'll find that your body reacts very well to it because it's a more natural way of eating.
Well, that's another good point. I have heard that, and you're right. We're spoiled. You know, if we want if we want strawberries, we can have them now in you know, in the middle of winter. And that kind of brings up another subject I'd like to talk with you about. I just saw a commercial the other night for food from Chile because it's summer there. And so all of their fruits and stuff are coming up. And in trying to transport food from not just another state or across our country, but from a whole different country on a different continent, to have them, to have that food, especially if it's deemed organic, do you think we can trust that? Do you think, you know, given that food will deteriorate over time, over as it's shipped, do you think it would have any nutritional value?
Well, you know, I mean, there's always going to be a certain level of nutritional value. Whether it's the full potential of that vegetable or not is another question. As far as organics from out of the country, that's something that, you know, even myself personally, I'm not entirely sure of. You know, every country has different standards. So I guess it's really up to you as a consumer to make the decision, well, do I feel comfortable with, you know, the sticker saying it's organic by that country's standards? Which I'm sure, you know, I'm sure many of them are higher than our own standards, but you know, that's something that I personally can't really speak to. That's more of a decision on the consumer's behalf. The biggest thing when it comes to purchasing items from out of the country, I would say, is just taking into account your carbon footprint. When you are purchasing things at the grocery store, the average item has traveled up to 2,500 miles to get to your supermarket.
Wow.
So that, yeah, it's a very long distance. And, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about how the nutritional value can be decreased once it travels and all of the various things that they're treated with. Now, of course, organic food isn't treated along the way, but it does have to be picked earlier, so that's going to impact the nutritional value. If you're purchasing local food, especially if you're a member of a CSA, the average distance that your food travels is less than 150 miles.
Wow, that's a huge difference.
It's enormous, yeah.
Yeah, really. And you're right. From what I had looked at, there is no internet agreed upon, universally accepted international standards for what is deemed to be organic. That is a variable across each country. So, yeah, I mean, it does require research. And I think the more we talked with the people at our local stores that we buy from. We go to the produce manager, we go to the manager. I think the more active we become as consumers asking questions and saying, okay, this says it's organic. How long has it been traveling? You know, as long as there's not a lot of people asking questions, the tendency is they don't have to be as responsive. You know, the more the process is under scrutiny, I think the more a store would have a tendency to be more diligent, perhaps, in its examination. But the difference of 2,500 miles to 150 miles is huge.
Yeah.
So I would say I agree. Your points are start eating the seasonal foods that are available in your area. And even if it's something you've never had, take the plunge, give it a try. But also,
exactly.
But the CSAs sound just like a wonderful tool for consumers to get organic food that is at its peak nutritionally and taste-wise too.
Absolutely. And you know, it not only is it great for those reasons, but you are able to connect with a whole community of people who have the same values as yourself, who are interested in making sure that they're supporting that local organic agriculture. And on the other side of things, it is very important to support local businesses in general, and especially local farms. If you are able to take that plunge and invest in a local farm, you're making a huge impact, not only for that farm itself, but for everyone who works for that farm, for everyone who partners with that farm, for example, all the people who we provide extra shares for. It really has an enormous impact on the community. In today's day and age, it is very difficult for small and especially organic farms to stay viable. It's very difficult to compete. I'm sure you know, if you've gone into a grocery store and seen the price of organic food, it's a lot higher than conventional food. And the reason for that is it is more labor intensive and it is a more high quality product, but it's difficult for those farmers to get that product sold. So if you're able to participate in a CSA and directly invest into that farm, you're keeping that farm alive. I mean, farmers are able to plant their seeds and repair their equipment and things like that, all because the community is directly investing in them and trusting them. And that's a pretty amazing thing.
Boy, it sure is. It sure is, especially for people who can't grow their own vegetables or have limited space, or even if they only grow a certain variety, to have access to this type of veggies that and foods that you all have make available. It really could certainly supplement even someone who does have their own garden.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, the CSA, I really like, it's a whole different paradigm. It isn't, I go to the grocery store, I buy it. I really like it. It's an investment, like you said. And it also creates the sense of community. But okay, well, this is very exciting. And one thing that I want to be sure that you share with our listeners is how, if someone is interested, now this is available primarily Southern Wyoming, the Front Range of Colorado, and certain mountain towns in Colorado. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yep.
Okay. So if someone wanted to get a hold of Grant Family Farms, could you give us your phone number and your, a contact number and your website, please?
Absolutely. So you can reach us at 970-568-7654. And we have a ton of information on our website, which is just www.grantfarms.com. And there you can check out all of the prices, all the different shares that we offer. And there's one share that I forgot to tell you guys about. We have a lot of pasture-raised hens that live on our farm. And so we provide pastured eggs as a share as well. And they are delicious. We have the happiest hens in the world. They get to run around in all of our fields and eat all the bugs for us. It's part of the way that we can stay organic is by having them help us with pest control. And a lot of them live in retrofitted school buses. So we tore all the seats out and made little coops in there. And so they live in the school buses, and then we can bus them around to different fields, and they get to hop out and eat all the leftovers and the bugs.
Well, I saw that on your website, and I thought that was just a hoot. I love how you're recycling the old school buses, and the fact also that the hens assist with the bugs. It's just all working. It's like, I think it's the way it's supposed to be, where nature's all working together instead of the often way of doing it, where everybody seems to be fighting everything and everyone else to try to get something accomplished. So
exactly.
Yeah. Now, I also noticed something that I don't think we've mentioned, and that has to do with cheese. Could you tell us a little bit about the cheese that you all offer?
Yeah, so we have three local dairies that partner with us for cheese shares, and they are all organic and they are all delicious. One of them is called Muco Cheese, and they're located here in Fort Collins, Colorado. And they do kind of a French-style soft cheeses, so they do camemberts and things like that. The second dairy we partner with is Windsor Dairy out of Windsor, Colorado, and they do more hard English-style cheeses, which are amazing. And the third one we partner with is Haystack Dairy out of Boulder, Colorado, and they do goat cheese. So all different kinds of goat cheese, from just the plain Chèvre to, you know, Herbe de Provence and things like that. So it is really delicious.
Well, that's, I tell you, I'm getting hungry.
Yeah.
When I read about it, now you're talking about it, it's like, okay, got to get some of this stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Just to recap for our listeners, Grant Family Farms in Wellington, Colorado offers these great CSAs. It's community supported agriculture, where you, in essence, buy a share into that farm for that harvest. That's a great idea, delivered locally. You can get the best nutrients for your food by getting it through this, because it's picked the day before. And also be aware and beware of going, when you go to local farmers markets, that there's some questions you need to ask to ensure that you're getting what you think you're getting, because it's always up to the consumer to be the one to make sure that there isn't somebody out there attempting to present it otherwise. Well, Rachel, we certainly enjoyed having you on our show today, and we thank you for sharing your information and also for telling us all about Grant Family Farms and organic farming.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. It was a great time.
Okay. Well, you've been listening to Food Integrity Now. If you have show ideas, comments, or just want to say hi, email us at info@foodintegritynow.org. Would love to hear from you. Check us out on the web at foodintegritynow.org, where you can find archive shows and news. Look us up on Facebook and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes by searching Food Integrity Now. New shows come out every Thursday. This is Jeannie Smith wishing you a happy and healthy week. And until next time, stay educated and stay active.